That is surely what we need. Revival. The rain to fall from heaven, to nourish the seed that we might grow and bring forth fruit. Would you pray that God would pour out His Spirit upon us, that we might love the souls of men and might realize that we cannot reach a world that we will not touch. We're going to revisit that song several times during the course of this month, and I trust it will become a part of your consciousness. I want to go over a couple of things with you before I get to the message this morning. You should have received a bulletin when you came in, and the bulletin will look like that the entire month. We have chosen as the theme for our missions month, increasing our global footprint. It's about changing the heart, not the climate. And the question is, what impact are you making on the world for the cause of Christ? And I'll preach on that subject this morning with God's help. Inside the bulletin, on the third page and in the back, has been printed a five-day devotional. If you do not understand these words, faith, promise, giving, this will help you. You can do it all at one time. You don't have to spread it out over 5 days. It would not take you a long time to do all 5 days today, all 5 days tomorrow, all 5 days the next day. So you've gone over it. The whole point of it is we want you to understand whether or not you participate in faith promise giving is up to you. God's offering you and I the opportunity to invest in His work of world evangelization. He's making some promises to us and asking us, do we believe Him? Our belief will only be demonstrated in one way, by acting in faith. So I hope you'll look at that. I hope that'll be meaningful to you. It's not just there to take up space. And then inside the bulletin, you'll find this again. You say, Pastor, I've had this already once or twice. Yeah, and you're probably going to get it again. I've learned in 40-some years of pastoring that people somehow forget what's going on at the church. And many times I know it's my responsibility. So I've decided to change that from my perspective and do everything I can to put it in front of you all the time. So these are the people that are coming to visit us. This is the days they're coming. The only thing that's not on here is this coming Saturday, Sarah Glover, who will be with us next Sunday, been a missionary that's been serving for years in Papua New Guinea. We're going to have a ladies' brunch at 10 o'clock this Saturday. I think it ought to be a special time. You'll get to ask her questions. She's going to share with you things pertaining to missions and ladies and all that's encountered. So I think it'll be a blessing. Otherwise, everything else is on here. I hope that you'll pray about this. And on the bottom of the second side, there are some suggestions about what you can be doing: planning, praying, pondering, preparing, and participating. And we want you to have a part in our missions month and be a blessing to our missionaries. And I know you will. And then you're going to see this inside your bulletin every Sunday. I do not want you to fill it out. I want you to look at it. I want you to think about it. I want you to pray over it, and we'll be explaining it. This is the key. This is faith promise. So we will all be asked, if you're willing to participate, to fill this out at the end of the missions month. And then we'll turn them in. You're not putting your names on it, and there is no promise made to me or to the church. It's a promise you made to God, and you're letting us know the amount without telling us your name. And then we'll take them up and we'll total the amount that God has instructed His people to trust Him for and to give by faith. That tells us then what we can expect, because we know God will supply when we're obedient, right? And so we know what we have to invest in the cause of world evangelization and subsequently increase our global footprint, right? So you're going to see that again. Don't fill it out yet. Wait till the end of the month. Let God work in your heart. But you'll have it to see. And again, I'm just determined I'm going to keep it in front of you, hopefully to help you. All right? Wasn't that wonderful that Brother Bradley Edmondson, I don't know of a busier man on the planet, What he does with medical missions outreach is a marvelous and amazing thing. And he gets a note from me and takes time in the middle of his campaign in Thailand to send us a personal video. You ought to appreciate that. What a blessing. And thank God for our missionaries. I hope you'll be praying for them. Well, last Sunday, we had Brother Jim Moore with us from Baptist Mission to Forgotten Peoples. And he preached on why Missions Month. And I'm not going to ask you to give me back the points, but I watched it. I wasn't here, but I watched it subsequently. He said, because of the immensity of the mission. The mission is immense, so we need to spend time considering it. And then he said, the insufficiency of the messenger. We just don't have enough laborers. And God calls laborers from the local church. And then he said, we have the missions month to hear the instruction of the master, which is to pray, and to give, and to go. And we're considering that. And then the second service, he preached on how do we do more for missions as a church? And it has to do with faith. And he talked about the object of our faith and the source of our faith and the activity of our faith. What a blessing. Brother Lyons then preached on Wednesday night, this past Wednesday night, on faith as well. And he took us to the story of the Macedonians in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, but particularly chapter 8, and told us how God's grace was bestowed upon them because they believed. And God abundantly supplied, and he talked about our faith. He talked about having a consecrated faith, a committed faith, a compounding faith, a continuous faith, and a Christ-confirming faith or Christ-centered faith. So that's where we are so far. Today I want to preach to you on the subject, God's global heartbeat, my global footprint. God's global heartbeat, my global footprint. Today, the concern of so-called leaders around the world seems to be fixated on the climate. They're concerned about climate change. And they are happily offering us a solution, which means give us more money, stay home, limit your travel, be obedient, and we'll take care of the problem. We'll save the planet. They are willfully ignorant of the fact that God created the planet, and God rules over the planet, and God will control the climate. Yes, there is climate change. But guess who is in charge of climate change? God. If you've ever read your Bible, you see God do things in the climate that are unexpected, inexplicable, but never devastating. We always recover from it because the hand of God is on it all. The call today is to reduce our global footprint. We're told that coal, gas, and oil, or fossil fuels, as they're called, provide or produce over 75% of greenhouse gas emissions or 90% of carbon dioxide emissions. And what we're told that as these greenhouse gases blanket the earth, they are trapping the sun's heat, which leads to global warming and climate change. Over time, changing the weather patterns in such a way that it disrupts the usual balance of nature. Once again, they're mistaken. They think that everything comes back to nature. It doesn't. It comes back to God who created all things. I want to tell you today, as your pastor, whether you want to believe me or not, the climate change concerns in our world have become an agenda to roll out the one world government. They are talking about COVID-style lockdowns every 2 years in order to save our planet. They're telling you that if we'll all just stay home, be good, don't drive our vehicles, don't burn any gas, don't do those things, and we'll lock ourselves down for a period of time that'll impact the climate in an effectual way. Meanwhile, they'll get rich, and you'll get poor. And in case you didn't notice, the lockdown for COVID produced no substantial benefit, but rather brought about great destruction to homes and lives and the economy. I'm just telling you what's up, okay? I love you. I hope you still love me. So you know what I did? I went online and I found a footprint calculator. How about that? The idea being that I could calculate my global footprint in this matter of climate change. And in so doing, I would learn that if everybody lived life just like I'm living life, how many planets would we need to have to survive? I'm embarrassed to tell you that what answers I provided them suggested as a result of my input, that if everybody lived just like Doug McClain lives, we would need 10.5 Earths just to survive. And then they ask me, how do you feel? And here are the choices I had. Shocked, inspired, helpless, intrigued, worried, embarrassed, confused. I wanted to say amused, but they didn't give me that option. The word climate is defined as the prevailing conditions of the atmosphere. And it also can be used in the terminology of a prevailing condition or set of attitudes in human affairs or behavior. So while our theme this month is about changing the heart and not the climate, I must alter that for a moment and tell you that if we can change the heart, we can change the climate. Do you know that God promised throughout the scriptures in the Old Testament that if his people's heart was centered on him and they loved him with all his heart, mind, and soul, and loved their neighbors themselves, he would open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on them they would not be able to receive. He said, however, if you don't, I will shut up the heaven that it doesn't rain. And I'll send pestilence and so forth and so on. So if we can get everybody's heart to know God, to love God, and to serve God, we can profoundly change the climate of this planet. It's all about changing the heart. And I'm trusting that God will challenge you and challenge me about what impact. I mean, the world wants us to take these calculator quizzes and determine what impact we're having on the world climate-wise. I want you to determine this month, what impact are you having on the world for the cause of Christ? We're talking about a spiritual climate rather than the physical climate. Go with me for a moment to Psalm 104. I don't want to leave this climate change thing before I look at a couple of scriptures with you. And by the way, there are many, many more, but I want you to see what the Word of God says. I asked you last time I preached from this pulpit, who's holding the reins of your brains? I ask you to be a thinker. And you know, the Bible gives you a lot of wisdom if you want it. But if you don't want the wisdom of the Bible, then you're stuck with the wisdom of man, the wisdom of the world. And it ain't going to get you very far. Psalm 104, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. He's very great, clothed with honor and majesty. Verse number 13. I'd like to read the whole chapter. You can read it later. Verse number 13 says, for like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Wait a minute, I'm in the wrong spot. I thought that didn't sound right. I'm in chapter 103. All right, on the same page, I'll go back to verse 13 and 14 again. He watereth the hills from his chambers. Who does? God. Mm-hmm. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. Whose works? God's works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. Go to verse 24. O Lord, how manifold are thy works in wisdom, hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. Verse number 30. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. Who renews the face of the earth with his spirit? God. Not the government. Not man. God does. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. New Testament. Verse number 1, Hebrews 1 and verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath, that is God, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. So everything is given to the Son, who God used as the agent of creation, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. Let's read that statement again. Upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. You know what the problem is, don't you? The world doesn't know God. The world rejected God, rebelled against God, and so now what do? Romans chapter 1, they worship and serve the creature, the creation, rather than the creator. If they knew the creator, none of this would bother them. Why does it bother you? Do you know the creator? He renews the face of the earth. He started it all with his words. He can change it all with the words. He upholds it with the word of his power. Why are you letting them scare you? Why are you afraid? Why are you living in fear? Look at verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish. Well, God tells you up front, it's going to perish. But thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. So God says, yes, there is going to be a destruction of this earth. But he goes on, if you read the book of Revelation, you'll find out when and how. And it's not now. I can assure you. Go back with me one more scripture, Genesis 8:22. These are just a couple that I would hope you would put in your back pocket and use to share with friends and neighbors that are worried and are acquiescing to government control needlessly, being panicked and fearful. Genesis 8:22. God says, while earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. That's the words of the living God. And those words have been around for a long time, and God has been around even longer than that. You can count on it. You can take it to the bank. Don't worry about it. So today, I want you to relate your footprint to the heartbeat of God. Where does God's heartbeat cause you to place your foot? Where does it take you? Where does it direct you? The heart is used to illustrate the center of life and being. And when we speak of somebody's heart, we're speaking of the essence of who they are, what they do, what they believe, what their will is and their purpose. That's the heart. So when we talk about the heartbeat of God, we're talking about the essence of who He is. What is God all about? Do you know Him? And do you know what He's all about? Do you know His will? Do you know His purpose? How do you know the heartbeat of someone? Well, physically speaking, lay your head on their chest. Or put your finger on a vein, the neck or in the wrist, and you can sense or feel the heartbeat physically. There was a disciple who is described in Scripture as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And at the Passover supper, the Last Supper, he is said to be twice leaning on the bosom of Jesus. And you know what John writes? John says, "For God so loved the world." These are the words of Jesus, by the way, which John heard and relates to us. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." What's the heartbeat of God? What's the pulse of God? You know somebody's heartbeat spiritually, not physically, but spiritually, by their words or by their works. And can I tell you, you will never know the heartbeat of God unless you're willing to read his autobiography. This is the autobiography of God. How many of you in this room know the name Benjamin Netanyahu? Raise your hand. You know who that is? Know that name? Somebody shout out who he is. Prime Minister of Israel. Somebody on Sunday night, this past Sunday night, on my way back home from Sarnia, I stopped to attend the service at Harvesters Baptist Church, and the pastor had a book on his desk, and he said, "Have you ever read this?" I said, "No, sir." And he said, "Would you like to read it? I just finished it. I'd recommend it." So he gave it to me. It's thicker than that. It's about that thick and about that size. And it's called BB, My Life Story. They call him BB. It's My Life Story. It's an autobiography. It's him telling you how he grew up and what impacted his life and how he feels about things. And by the way, in it, he talks about Putin. I don't know if you pronounce it Putin or Putin, but the leader of Russia. And he knows him personally, and he talks about his heartbeat. And we can be mistaken. I am shocked and surprised at some of the things he's revealing in there. He's in a position to know better than I am. But I'm really enjoying it because I don't just know about him now. I'm getting to know him from his own words. My friend, God has given you an autobiography. There is no excuse for you not to know the heartbeat of God, the creator of this world. You will also know his heartbeat by his works. Well, you say, "I'm not sure that I ever witnessed the works of God." Well, you do if you've ever witnessed the person of Jesus Christ. For Jesus said, "He that hath seen me hath seen my Father. I and my Father are one." And what was the heartbeat of Jesus? When we read through the account of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what was the heartbeat of Jesus? It was souls. It was people. He said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and save that which is lost." God sent his Son into the world to rescue lost sinners. God, according to 2 Corinthians 5:19, was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. You know who Peter is, don't you? Like John, he walked with the Lord Jesus. He listened to the words of the Lord Jesus. He observed the acts and deeds of the Lord Jesus. He was transformed as a disciple of the Lord Jesus. And he writes in 2 Peter and chapter 3, verse 7. But now, and this is again, helpful to you on climate issues, the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store. By what word? The word of God, verse number 5. The heavens and the earth, which are now, are kept by the same word in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of God, ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Why? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You want to know the heartbeat of God? Talk to somebody who walked with him on earth. And he said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And look at the next statement. An account that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation. He's not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. His long-suffering is for salvation. What's his heartbeat? What's it all about? God's heartbeat is the souls of men, not willing that any should perish. Turn back a few pages to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Timothy was a preacher boy who accompanied the Apostle Paul, who met the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. And Timothy writes in his ministry and by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and writes in verse 1 of chapter 2, 1 Timothy, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life, and all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. What is the heartbeat of God? That all men be saved. We're to pray for all men, that they may come to the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Christ died for all men because it's good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, that we pray for men, that men come to be saved. He gave himself a ransom for all, verse 6, to be testified in due time, to be talked about, to be shared, to be testified. So here's what I'm saying to you this morning. The heartbeat of God is world evangelization. The heartbeat of God is every person, everywhere, in every place, coming to know the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Christ died, was buried, and rose again to atone for the sins of man, and men may be reconciled to God by faith in his atonement. That's the heartbeat of God. The supreme revelation of God's heart, the truest expression of his love, Jesus. In the fullness of time, he sent forth his Son to redeem us. World missions or world evangelization is bringing a lost world back to God. And that has been God's great purpose and passion since the beginning, since sin entered man's existence in Genesis chapter 3. Your Bible is the story of God's pursuit of men. The world's religions and the world's religious books are the story of man's search for God. But the Bible alone tells us about a God who's searching for his lost creation. God is the first and greatest missionary, and the Bible is the revelation of his successive outreach to his creation. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 45. You know what I'm saying to you? If you have no passion for the lost, if you're unconcerned about the souls of men in the world, then forgive me for being blunt, but allow me to be honest. You do not know God. God is love. And herein hath he showed his love, in that he gave his son, that he sent his son. That's a missionary. Missionary means a sent one. He sent his son to save the world. And then he said through his son to his church, as the Father sent me, Jesus said, so send I you. This is the purpose of God and the heartbeat of God. And if you don't know it or you don't share it, I'll tell you why later. Isaiah 45 and verse 18. I love these verses. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me, in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together. Ye that are escaped of the nations, they have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near. Who? The nations. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from the ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Hath not I, the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look, look, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. And there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. What's the heartbeat of God? Look, look. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved. Somewhere else in Scripture, I can't remember the reference right now, God says, all day long, I have stretched forth my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people. All day long, stretching forth my hands. Come unto me, look, be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Look at chapter 52. And verse 10, Psalm 52 and verse 10. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of, what are the next three words? All the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. God has revealed the truth about salvation through his Son, and all the ends of the earth are to see it. That's the will of God. That's the heartbeat of God. When Jesus was with men on earth, he said to his disciples, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Lo, I am with you to the end of the world. Teach all nations, make disciples, baptize them. I'm going to be with you to the end of the world. This is something that's going to go on till the end of the world. It's something that God wants to happen to the end of the world. This is God's heartbeat. This is his directive. This is what he wants us to do. Mark 16 and verse 15, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All the world, every creature, every person, every individual. Hey, how are they going to believe if they never hear? If they never hear Jesus, how can they believe upon Jesus? So we've got to go. We've got to tell them. Some are going to believe and some are not. It's not our job. Our job is to tell them, to give them the invitation. that they might turn from their sin. Aren't you glad somebody told you? Aren't you glad you heard the gospel from somebody in some fashion? Luke 24, Jesus said, you're to be witnesses unto me among all the nations. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Those who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth, all the world. Church, if you think the heartbeat of God is this assembly this morning, you're mistaken. Oh, is God pleased with this assembly this morning? Absolutely. So you can learn about His heartbeat. So you can join hands together to make your footprints match His heartbeat in this world. But this is not what it's about. If you think the heartbeat of God is to make you comfortable and to meet your needs and to take away your problems and to heal all your diseases, that's not the heartbeat of God. He's going to do that, and He's going to do it permanently and completely forever. World without end, age after age, once we leave this life. But His heartbeat right now is that every person hear the gospel. How are they going to hear it? By those who've heard it going and telling others about it and sharing Jesus Christ. I'm going to say these things and I'm done. There are three things, and I'm not preaching on them, so don't get nervous. These three things that characterize the early church in your Bible. Number one, they evangelized the world because they were separated from the world. Just hear me well. If you don't want to be separated from the world, you'll never evangelize the world. If they can't see a difference between you and them, why would they want to change? These people were, they were called by the world in which they lived. The disciples were called the third race. There's the Jew and there's the Gentile. And then there's the Christians, the third race. In scorn. They were different, and they were known to be different, and they weren't ashamed to be different. They were in the world, but they were not of the world. They had no longer an attraction to the world, no interest in the world. Their attraction and interest and affection was focused on heaven, and they were different. They were separated from the world. Number two, they were surrendered to the work. Everybody got involved, every member of the church. Everybody took it as their responsibility to preach the gospel, to share their neighbors and their friends, and to go out and preach the gospel. Read your New Testament. The whole church got involved. It's an individual matter. What impact are you having on the world for Christ? What's your footprint in this world for the cause of Christ? They were personally consecrated. Separation of the world, surrender to the work, and number three, sure of the word. You know what made them successful? They weren't talking about what they thought, or they weren't sharing their opinion. They were telling people what they knew was absolutely true. And because they embraced it as absolutely true in their life, they were able to persuade others that it was true. Listen to me. We are so wishy-washy. We know so little of the Scripture. We know so little of the power of God that we have no impact on this world. We're not making an impact because we're not sure of the Word. The Word of God is certain and sure and established forever, and it's trustworthy and worthy to build your life upon and your family upon and your nation upon. And when the church is willing to be separate from the world, surrendered to the work, and certain of the Word, then we will see God's power. And our footprints will reflect His heartbeat. Nothing clearer in the Scripture this morning than the fact that the missionary enterprise is the heartbeat of God. It's to be the footprint of the church. And you are the church. Don't look at me. Yes, I am, but so are you. All of us together, we are the church. And if we say that the God of heaven, we've been reconciled to Him, He lives in us, where's the evidence of His heartbeat? I did not yet, but I'm thinking of it, putting together as my quote-unquote friends on the internet did, a footprint calculator so that you can ask yourself a few questions to see how many worlds or how many lifetimes will it take for every creature to hear the gospel if everybody treats the gospel and the heartbeat of God like you do. Pretty searching question. Let's pray. Father in heaven, would you bless the message today? Would you help your people to understand and comprehend? This is not my opinion. This is not my philosophy. Lord, this is the clear revelation from your autobiography. You have told us who you are, what your heartbeat is. And Father, please, this month, today, begin today and throughout this month, would you challenge us to increase individually and as a church corporately our global footprint for the cause of Christ. Father, if there's somebody in this room who's never received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're lost and on their way to a Christless eternity in hell, I pray you'd move upon their heart today to know that your heartbeat is one of love. And that love is so great that you gave your only begotten Son to be their Savior and Redeemer, to bear their sins debt. And would they today be moved to surrender to you, to call upon you, to ask you to save them through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus. Everybody standing together, please, with head bowed and eyes closed.